Let's get to our guest, Stephen Glass, Managing Director and Analyst at Pella Funds Management. Stephen, one of my questions would just be whether or not companies can surprise us and make good management decisions and get their earnings to perform pretty well. We have Nike and FedEx today telling different stories, but both of them, in a sense, are successful. Nike in simply lifting sales and FedEx in cost cutting. It's got $1 billion of cost efficiencies carved out there. So do you have confidence that companies will manage this, or are the challenges just too strong?
I guess a starting point is to define what the challenge is. And I think one of the biggest challenges going in to next year for most companies, is particularly in the US, is actually going to be managing wage pressure. Since 2021, real wages have actually declined. So as much wage pressure as there's been, and we've actually seen the various wage cost indices at jumping at record highs. I think the last quarterly report was up 8% year on year. They still trailed inflation, and that's really going to come home to roost probably next year. Labor can handle 1 or 2 years, perhaps, of real wage declines, but they're not going to take 3 or 4 years, and particularly when the labor market is so tough. So we've had a bit of a preview into that with what's happened in the UK with their winter of discontent. There's been rolling strikes across several industries there. It is a more unionized market, the UK, than the US, but I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see more wage pressure, which is really going to be difficult for companies to pass on. So that's going to be a very tough thing for them to manage. We've seen companies like FedEx, I guess, what they're going to do. They're going to find ways to save money. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not that hard to cut costs. It's hard to cut costs and still grow. HP provides a warning tale of what can happen if you cut costs
that's
too
a
much.
Good point. Yeah.
So they've got real issues next year.
So what's the impact of rising wage pressure going to be on corporate earnings then? We had a warning yesterday from Morgan Stanley of another 22% drop in the S&P because of slumping profits. We often expect earnings season to be awful, and then it ends up being kind of okay. What are your expectations?
Look, at the moment, the market is Pella believes that the market is probably too optimistic. The last I looked at earnings expectations, they're expected to still grow. Now, one of the caveats there is that earning expectations that the market often takes out share-based compensation, which Pella believes is an absolute mistake. If share-based compensation isn't a labor expense, then what is it? And if labor expense isn't a cost of doing business, then what is that? So it definitely should be added back. And we actually believe that companies have become quite adept at managing how they present earnings. And it takes a bit of accounting work and effort, but if you go through it, the results are often not as good as they seem. And also, it's a game you can't play forever. So, yes, earnings have continued to surprise for the upside for an extended period of time. But we think when the wave turns, it could actually surprise to the downside for a material period of time. So I guess the long and the short of it is what Pella is really focusing on at the moment are companies with high earnings visibility. And that is the key, because we do think the market is coming some downgrades, given the Fed's likely to hold interest rates higher for longer to depress demand in the economy. At the same time, there's likely to be wage pressure. And so we think there's a real chance for material downgrades.
That said, you know, looking for, you know, high certainty of earnings, one of the examples you cite is ASML. And the issue there could be China. I mean, China is probably about 15 or 20% of the business, and they're going to be limited now, that kind of business that they can do with China.
No, undoubtedly. But the fact is their order book is still fully sold out. There is enough demand out there that it's actually, and we speak with them extensively. They haven't there hasn't been a trilateral agreement with the Dutch government, Japanese, and the US yet as it relates to China. But it kind of doesn't matter if the Chinese companies can't buy the US equipment. There's no point buying the Dutch equipment. So we do think that market is facing some pressure. But you know, that's only at the very top end. That's only for the EUV machines. Are they still going to sell their more standardized equipment? And those top-end EUV machines are sold out. It's supply constraints. So we think that's a company with good earnings visibility because their backlog is sold out to non-Chinese companies.
We've got an aggressively appreciating yen today for reasons that we have explored extensively earlier on. But how is this impacting your strategy, particularly when it comes to looking at treasuries?
Look, it is another potential headwind for treasuries. There's little doubt about that. The Japanese are the biggest external holders of U.S. treasuries. They hold about $1.2 trillion of the treasuries. And if you take out the Fed's, say, $9 trillion out of the $24 trillion outstanding, there's $15 trillion. So 1.2 is it's not quite 10%, but it's a big chunk. So it should put upward pressure on treasuries. The Japanese have actually already started accelerating selling of the more short end. So we should see some of the pressure at the long end. At the moment, that doesn't seem to be too much of an issue because, as you know, we've got a severely inverted yield curve. So the market is expecting a recession, and so a little bit of pressure there won't matter that much. At the same time, we think this is another reason why the Fed's unlikely to pursue an aggressive QT program next year. So up to now, the Fed's QT program has been quite benign, and I think this is another reason why it will continue to be benign. So Pella doesn't think that this necessarily is a huge issue, but it does have the potential to cascade into something if it continues.
If people happen to be short on yen right now, I mean, would you advise people just in diversifying their currency exposure anyway, maybe to add yen to the portfolio?
I'll just have a caveat that Pella is not really a macro trader in that sense, but we do believe strongly in diversification because it is these tail events that matter. Any risk that can be priced in is priced in. So Pella does believe strongly in diversification, and it's probably not a bad idea for a macro trader to consider having some yen. Having said that, it's not something Pella is doing itself because we are focused more on underlying stocks than currency.
Got it, Stephen. Thanks very much for joining us. Stephen Glass, Managing Director and Analyst at Pella Funds Management.